Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read the first section, the first 13 verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages, and the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." We pause to pray. Father, we pray that what we have read may become for us the living word of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, Pentecost, reflecting on the gift of the Holy Spirit. And our task this morning is really to seek understanding and a response to the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we reflect on understanding the gift of the Holy Spirit, what's that about? There are going to be four keywords that I'm going to put up on the screen. And in terms of our possible response to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, again, there are going to be four words I'll put up on the screen as prompts for us. But there's something extra today, and it is just a little bonus. Are you excited for that? Yeah. Oh, yes. You know, bonus. But just in case you fall asleep between now and when we get to the bonus, because who knows? It's a little bit warm. You might find, you know, if you've not had the greatest night's sleep last night, you might find yourself nodding. Is the bonus. What if the Holy Spirit's deepest work is simply this: to transform us such that love speaks before we open our mouths? So, understanding the gift of the Holy Spirit, four key words: Creator, life, light, and love. The Holy Spirit participates always in creation. When we go back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, what do we see? The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, is an integral figure in the creation of all things. And the Holy Spirit creates. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we should not be surprised if new things start happening within us, if things we had long forgotten be raised to the surface, if issues we haven't dealt with begin to come to the fore, because the Holy Spirit is creating something new within us. And that involves dealing with a lot of stuff that's already there. And the Holy Spirit wants to create in us the life of the Lord Jesus. And that Jesus himself promised, "I have come that you may have life, life in all its fullness. And we might ask the question, we might read that in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, and we might ask the question, well, how does that happen? I like the idea of Jesus coming and offering life, life in all its fullness, that we might flourish and be all that God intended for us to be. How does that happen? Well, as the Holy Spirit comes upon us and creates anew and afresh within us, the Holy Spirit is creating life within us. The Holy Spirit is seeking to create the environment within us such that we can flourish. You know, God created each one of us. And we know, we don't have to reflect for very long. We know there often feels something lacking within us. And there will be varying degrees of frustration about who we are. And there is this innate longing, I believe, within every human being to flourish, to be the best that we can be, to be all that God created us to be. And the Holy Spirit is working within us as we receive the Spirit to enable that to happen. And the Holy Spirit comes to us to enlighten us. The Holy Spirit comes to us to enlighten us. When we open up our Bibles and we read the words that are on the page, if you're anything like me, sometimes you read the words on the page and say, you know, I know what the words say, but I don't know what they mean. You ever been there? Yeah? And this is where the Spirit enlightens us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what I'm reading. There is that beautiful story we get in Acts where there is an Ethiopian official traveling through the desert and an Ethiopian eunuch, and where we find out that he's a significant member of the Ethiopian government. And one of the early apostles, Philip, is transported to be right alongside that Ethiopian official as he travels in his chariot. And Philip says, what are you doing? I'm reading. And he happened to be reading from a scroll, Isaiah chapter 52 and 53. I don't understand what I'm reading. Help me understand. And he's praying, even as he speaks to Philip. I need somebody to enlighten me so that I can understand who or what this is about. And that is true for us. But it's not just about reading the Bible. It is about, as we live our lives, the Holy Spirit enlightens us as we look around and helps us to see people as God sees them. Loved, created by God, blessed by God, welcomed by God, and the Spirit transforms us and enlightens our vision such that we see people as God sees them. And sometimes that challenges us because we all have biases, we all have prejudices, and we see certain people and we, you know, avoid them or disapprove of them or whatever it is. But the Spirit, if the Spirit's at work in us, our perspective changes. The Spirit is enlightening us in that. And that brings us to our fourth term, love. Because what the Holy Spirit is doing within us is changing our characters. The Spirit is helping us to change our minds, as we'll touch on in just a second. But the Holy Spirit is helping to create a godly character within us. And I know that on Pentecost Sunday, often we might focus on activities of God that are dramatic and exciting and powerful, and we're very attracted to that. But what's most attractive is a life that is changed by the Spirit, such that we live with love and kindness. And what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, somebody who's filled with the Spirit. How do you know they're filled with the Spirit? because their life bears the fruit of love, joy, peace, kindness. What is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity. No. Yes. Yeah. Whatever. There's nine of them. Go and look. Galatians 5. But it's a transformation of character, and the nine fruit that Paul gives, it's not a limited list. There are many other things in terms of our character that the Spirit does, but it is led by love. And that's what the Spirit is seeking to do within us. Create life, light, and love. And then in terms of our response, there are four responses that we may make as we receive the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, having explained to the crowd that gathered what on earth is going on, and saying to them, the Spirit has come and filled all these people with the Spirit, with himself, with the presence of God. And that's what you see, because God has raised Jesus from the dead, and everything changes from this moment on. And those who are listening to Peter, are cut to their heart, because they realize we knew Jesus and we rejected him. We even rejected him to the point of him being crucified. And they are cut to the heart because of what they have done and the error of their ways. And they say to Peter, what shall we do? And Peter replies and says this in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is the promise that is given to us. And it doesn't matter where we stand right at this moment. There is an invitation at Pentecost always to each one of us. You can repent. You're not so far away. You're not so lost that you can't repent. And what does it mean to repent? Repentance in ancient times would have been a familiar term. The idea of changing your mind, of understanding, well, this is the way I think about spiritual things or religious things or political things or lifestyle. And I realize I've made 2 and 2 equal 5 or something, and I've got that wrong. And I need to repent. I need to change my thinking. I need to approach this in a different way. And Peter says to the crowd, you need to repent. That's the first thing. You need to change your mind. You thought Jesus was cursed. You thought Jesus was not from God. Maybe for some of them, Jesus threatened them. And Peter says, you've got to change your mind on that one. You've got to change and now focus on living for God. And that's an invitation that comes to every single one of us. There are all sorts of areas in our lives where we are in repentance. And I've said many times that having given my life to Jesus at the age of 12, I have given my life to Jesus many times since. There has been a process of repentance within me, going back years and years and years. And why is there that process of repentance? Because I keep realizing I haven't got it right. Although, you know, I don't know if I'm the only one, but my confession is, whenever I repent and change my mind, I think, right, I've got it sorted now. Until the next time. And the Spirit works in me and I've got to repent again. Give my life to Jesus again. And so it goes on. And it's not something to be fearful of, but it releases us. Because we don't want to get it wrong. We want to flourish as God intended for us. And so we repent. And then Peter says to the crowd, repent and be baptized, a symbol of a new beginning. For some people, that's going down into the River Jordan right then and going under the water as a symbol. I am leaving behind every way in which I've lived before. And as I come up out of the water, here is new life. I'm washed clean. I'm going to make a new start. I've repented. I've changed my mind. I've washed clean. Now I am starting again. And that is one of the responses we make as we recognize the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And of course, we need to receive. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we just need to stop. Sometimes we just need to stop and receive. Sometimes the words need to come to an end. Sometimes our frenetic activity has to cease. And sometimes we just need to receive. And that's the invitation to us, to receive. Just gently and quietly receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the fourth term is live. Live. Just get on with it. Just get on with life. Live your life. Trusting in God every day. Praying every day, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. If there's anything I need to repent of today, then point it out to me. Give me the wherewithal to change my mind. Give me the courage. Give me the encouraging friendships. Give me whatever I need so that I can be filled with the Spirit today and live and live. And live, and more openly reflect the life of the Lord Jesus in my life. Because the reality, you know, is that those who are filled with the Holy Spirit look like Jesus. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit look like Jesus. Now, of course, I don't mean physically. We don't know what Jesus looked like. But he would have been a dark-skinned Palestinian. That's the reality of it. But we look like Jesus. There is something about us that looks like Jesus. I remember years ago having a dream, strangest dream. And I remember dreaming. And there were friends of mine who weren't Christians. And one of them had died. And I imagined that person going to heaven somewhere after they died. And they hadn't made a confession of faith. And in my dream, that person was confronted with Jesus. And Jesus radiated love and light. And the response of my friend was to say, I know we've never met before. This is to Jesus. I've never met before, but I've met somebody who looks like you. And that was my dream. And that remains my dream today. That there may be millions who, when they meet Jesus, will say, I know we've never met, we've never spoken before, but I met what somebody once who looked like you. And I recognize you in them. And those who are filled with the Spirit look like Jesus. And that is such an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. And should cause us to pray all the more ardently that God may fill us with the Spirit. Now the bonus. Let's go back to the bonus. In Acts chapter 2. We have the Spirit falling upon the disciples, and they are enabled to speak in these other languages, and they are speaking out the praises of God. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 8, they say, "How is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" How is it that we are hearing in our own native language? And this week, as I've prayed and reflected and prayed and studied and reflected and prayed, I kept on being led back to this. And this simple sentence: how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Because you see, the barriers between us are never just language. The barriers between us are never just language. And the barriers between us speaking about the love of God and somebody else hearing, the barrier is never just language. Sometimes the barrier is to do with power. Because sometimes when we speak to others, we consider ourselves better than them. And they know it, or they feel it. We speak as if we're above them. And they don't hear what we speak with our mouths, because they know what's going on is there. They think they're better than us. Sometimes people don't hear us because the agenda that we have gets in the way. And they sense that agenda, that we want to control them, or we want a particular outcome to what we are sharing. Whatever it is, sometimes the agenda that we have gets in the way. Sometimes what gets in the way is that we're of a different tribe, or they're of a different tribe. We have different skin color, or we're from a different part of the world. And the words that we speak are never heard because we belong to a different tribe. And sometimes we're afraid, and they sense that fear. And the words that we speak get mangled in the atmosphere of fear. So the barriers between us are never just language. And on the day of Pentecost, the language, the barriers between the disciples and all those who heard them praising God, the barriers were not just language. And that's why I ask the question, what if the Holy Spirit's deepest work is simply this: to transform us such that the barriers of power and agenda and tribe and fear are broken down. The Holy Spirit transforms us such that love speaks before we open our mouths. May the Holy Spirit fill each one of us afresh today. May we each be open to receive Jesus. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and do your work of creativity. Holy Spirit, come and bring life. Holy Spirit, come. Amen.